And so may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are a number of words and phrases I want to begin with today, some of which have been around on the news a lot recently. Sensationalism, fake news, conspiracy theory. But I want to add to that also the word incredible and the word fantastic. The word incredible and fantastic, those two words, they sound to us quite upbeat and good news, do they not? That's fantastic. Wow, that's incredible. And I'm going to deconstruct those words just a moment. The others I gave you are more negative. Fake news, conspiracy theory, sensationalism. We think of those as more negative. All of these things have been around forever as concepts and in practice. They are shades, if you like, of exaggeration, the intent to distract or deceive, the intent perhaps to arouse mistrust and suspicion, those sort of things. And intentionally or unintentionally, innocently, or with real mischief, I don't want to overstate it and call it evil, I use that word very lightly. So we have some negative words, and we have a couple of very wow words. And then alongside those words and phrases, we have got this story in Acts chapter 1, where we see this bloke disappearing into the clouds, and we think, wow, that's incredible. That's amazing, it's fantastic. And then next week, we go to Acts chapter 2, and we have more high drama. We have sound effects with the wind, and we have visual effects with the flames of fire. And then we also have sound effects with all the languages that people didn't have to learn. How amazing would that be? And we think, wow, that's incredible. That's fantastic. But let me try and unlock those two words. Fantastic, based on the word fantasy. If you thought that I was saying that scripture is based on fantasy, you might get upset. You might even get cross. And incredible means it's not credible. And if you thought that I was saying scripture is not credible, it has no authority, it is not truth, you would get upset. And you might even get cross. And you'd be right to do so. And partly what I want to say is we need to be more careful about how we use language. That we're not always hearing what it is that people are saying. Or people are not always hearing what we think we're saying. And these two stories, this week and next week, in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, with all this high drama of people disappearing into clouds and smoke on people's heads and stuff, we understand that because we have the background to understand it. But to somebody who is not brought up with any kind of scriptural knowledge, never mind understanding, would they think, in reading these stories, in reading these narratives, wow, that's life-changing for me? Or would they just kind of think, yeah? So that's part of what I want to say. And then leading on from that, I want to move us really towards where we finish the service today with the blessing I will use at the end. It has this phrase in it. May the Spirit, who set the church on fire upon the day of Pentecost in a week's time, bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Jesus started promising the coming of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, before the resurrection, before even the crucifixion. And he's been promising that event ever since. And at the beginning of the reading today in Acts, that promise is renewed. Remember, I said, the Holy Spirit will come. But what we have added today is the why. Why is the Holy Spirit coming? The Holy Spirit is coming to give you, my followers, says Jesus, power. Power to do what? What for? What's the Holy Spirit coming for? Power to be my witnesses. So that all the world may know that God is an abiding presence God, that God is a loving God, that God is a merciful God, that God is a powerful God. And we could go on. So we're expecting this power to enable us to be witnesses, so that we in our turn can do what this blessing invites, to bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. At the moment, we are dotted about. You're dotted about. You look like you're sitting on the naughty step, and I've told you, you cannot sing. And I feel really bad about that. But normally, we're packed in tight. And you know, one of the images of the Holy Spirit, one of the sound effects, is the wind. And some people's response to wind is this: let's open all the windows and get some fresh air in and a bit of life. And especially after the rain, the air smells so fresh, does it not? Other people, their response to a wind coming is the opposite. Close all the windows, batten down the hatches, feel safe. Yeah? And Christians and churches are no different. These pews, every Pentecost, will be full of people. There'll be one there who wants to open the windows, let the Holy Spirit come. And there'll be somebody sat next to them who'll say, shut the windows. Yeah, we want to be safe. And all the variations in between. Yeah. So that's the second thing I want to say. The first thing was about what we hear, the words, and what we hear, what we say, how that lands. And then the second thing I wanted to say was this business about the wind and our expectation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Power. What do you personally, in your prayer life, in your discipleship, expect to happen next Sunday? It's no good asking you next Sunday, because next Sunday will be there. I want to ask you today. Will it just be another Pentecost, like last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before? Or does the promise of the Holy Spirit . What, if anything, are you expecting? Will it make any difference to you personally whatsoever in your Christian life? Do you expect it to? Do you want it to? And then coupled with that, the same questions could be asked of our church. Every Pentecost, we can ask ourselves that same question. What, if anything, do we want the Holy Spirit to do in our church? Do we want the Holy Spirit to bring life and fire and wind and fresh air? Or do we want to close the windows and let's move on, and then there's a summer and then there's harvest and it all feels a bit safer? Yeah? So there's that kind of, I want to say that as well. What is the nature of our waiting this week until Pentecost comes? What will be the nature of the power that we're waiting for as individuals, as Christians, as a church? And what will be the nature of our witness, which is the whole point of the power being given to us, that we can share the good news of God's love and God's presence with our generation? Every generation is to declare afresh the good news of God's love. Yeah? And then I want to finish, really, by just saying two of the words I started with were to do with fantasy, as in fantastic, and then incredible. But the negative words I threw at you, to do with fake news and conspiracy theory, yeah? Arguing against them is pointless. And some of you have done quite a lot of reading around some of these things. There's no arguing because they inhabit a space of irrationality. Yeah, and you can't argue with irrationality. Yeah. But what you can do is you can say, here's my marker. This is where I am. Yeah. And for some of us, that will be fairly creedal. For some of us, it'll be more experiential. Yeah. I know that God is a healing God because a person might say that. I know that God is a God who provides because somebody else might say that. Yeah? That's a kind of experiential faith. Others will have, as I say, a more creedal faith. You pile all that up, all those statements, all those, this is my marker, across the whole planet, on this snapshot moment, this weekend, and you're talking about millions of people, and then you multiply that by all the centuries since Jesus. That's a heck of a lot of markers, and they're just there. So you don't need to argue with irrationality. You just say, this is the God that we worship. And at this point in the year, we are waiting for the power of the Spirit to bring that worship alive, to bring our prayers alive, to refresh us in our walk with God and our experience of God and the love of God. Just take a moment to let something of that drift to the surface for you, that you will take into the week with you.